It was Walter. Agnes knew it. It wasn't knowledge in her mind, exactly. It was practically something she breathed. She felt it as a tree feels the sun. It all fitted. He could go anywhere and no one took any notice of Walter Plinge. In a way, he was invisible because he was always there. And if you were someone like Walter Plinge, wouldn't you long to be someone as debonair and dashing as the ghost? If you were someone like Agnes Knitt, wouldn't you long to be someone as dark and mysterious as Perdita X Dream? The traitor thought was there before she could choke it off. She added hurriedly, "But I've never killed anyone." Because that's what I'd have to believe, isn't it? If he's the ghost, then he's killed people. All the same, he does look odd, and he talks as if the words are trying to escape. A hand touched her shoulder. She spun round. "It's only me," said Christine. "Oh, don't you think this is a marvellous dress?"
"What?"
"This dress, silly." Agnes looked her up and down. "Oh, yes, very nice," she said, disinterest lying on her voice like rain on a midnight pavement. "You don't sound very impressed. Really, Perdita, there's no need to be jealous."
"I'm not jealous. I was thinking."
She'd only seen the ghost for a moment, but he certainly hadn't moved like Walter. Walter walked as though his body were being dragged along by his head, but the certainty was as hard as marble now.
"Well, you don't seem very impressed, I must say."
"I'm wondering if Walter Plinge is the ghost," said Agnes, then immediately cursed herself, or at least pooted. She felt embarrassed enough about Andre's reaction. Christine's eyes widened.
"But he's a clown."
"He walks odd and he talks odd," said Agnes, "but if he stood up straight..." Christine laughed. Agnes felt herself getting angry. "And he practically told me he was."
"You believed him, did you?"
Christine made a little tutting sound that Agnes considered quite offensive.
"Really? You girls believe the strangest things."
"What do you mean, we girls?"
"Oh, you know, the dancers are always saying they've seen the ghost all over the place."
"Good grief, do you think I'm some sort of impressionable idiot? Think for a minute before answering."
"Well, of course I don't, but..."
Agnes strode off into the wings, concerned more with effect than direction. The background noise of the stage faded behind her as she stepped into the scenery store. It didn't lead anywhere except to a pair of big double doors opening into the world outside. It was full of bits of castles, balconies and romantic prison cells, stacked any old how. Christine hurried up behind her.
"I really didn't mean... Look, not Walter. He's just a very odd job man."
"He does all kinds of jobs. No one ever knows where he is. They all just assume he's around."
"All right, but you don't have to get so worked up."
There was the faintest of sounds behind them. They turned. The ghost bowed.
"Who's a good boy, then? Nanny's got a bowl of fish eggs for a good boy," said Nanny, trying to see under the big dresser in the kitchen.
"Fish eggs," said Granny coldly.
"I borrowed them from the stuff they have done for the soiree," said Nanny.
"Borrowed?" said Granny.
"That's right. Come along, Greeball. Who's a good boy, then?"
"Borrowed? You mean when the cat's finished with them, you're going to give them back?"
"It's only a manner of speaking, Esme," said Nanny in a hurt little voice. "It's not the same as stealing if you don't mean it."
"Come along, boy, here's some lovely fish eggs for you."
Greebo pulled himself further into the shadows. There was a little sigh from Christine, and she folded up into a faint. But she managed, Agnes noticed sourly, to collapse in a way that probably didn't hurt when she hit the ground, and which showed off her dress to the best effect. It was beginning to dawn on Agnes that Christine was remarkably clever in some specialised ways. She looked back at the mask. "It's all right," she said, her voice sounding hoarse even to her. "I know why you're doing it. I really do." No expression could cross that ivory face, but the eyes flickered. Agnes swallowed. The Perdita part of her wanted to give in right now because that would be more exciting. But she stood her ground.
"You want to be something else and you're stuck with what you are," said Agnes. "I know all about that. You're lucky. All you have to do is put on a mask. At least you're the right shape."
"But why did you have to go and kill people?"
"Why? Mr. Pounder couldn't have done you any harm."
"But he poked around in odd places, didn't he?
and he found something. The ghost nodded slightly and then held out his ebony cane. He grasped both ends and pulled so that a long, thin sword slid out.
"I know who you are," Agnes burst out as he stepped forward. "I could probably help you. It might not have been your..."